Right, intro music cue. Do 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 do. Webinars unfiltered. Do. Hello and welcome to episode 11 of Webinars Unfiltered. We are going to explore a very interesting topic today, which is AI making us worse at our jobs without us noticing? So joining me today, we've got Jade, our finance manager, Vicky, head of customer success, and Vicky, another Vicky, head of engineering. So hi all, how are you all feeling?
Good.
Are we all excited?
Yeah.
Lauren, I'm like, are you buzzing for this?
Exactly.
So just for our audience today, just so you know, you can ask us all a question at any point during this podcast. You can do that via the right-hand side. There is an ask a question box there. We've got someone behind the scenes who's going to respond to the questions as and when they come in. But if we don't have time to answer them, we will get back to you privately once the podcast is finished. The podcast will also be made available on demand. So if you know of anyone that you think would find this useful or interested to watch it, then feel free to share. And then you can, of course, watch back in your own time as well. So, on to the topic, the most exciting topic. How do we actually use AI in our roles? I think is just a great place to kind of start with this podcast. I will kind of chip in with where I use it for marketing, but I just think it'll be nice to hear from all of you guys first about how do you use AI in your role? Anyone want to start?
I can kind of start if you like,
because
I think mine is probably a bit AI light in comparison to maybe Vicky's or yours, Emma. With a real customer facing team for support, etc., managed events. One of the important things for us is about remaining 100% authentic with our customer support, so that our customers know that there is an actual person that is responding to them and they have that kind of human touch. So that's a huge part. So when it comes to AI, we use a lot of automation at the minute for background processes so that it makes our team's life easier when it comes to supporting our customers. So AI is a lot of troubleshooting in the background of internal processes, how we can do things better, and just adding AI into those automations just to see if we can streamline internal processes just so we can spend more time with our customers, essentially. So, yeah, I'd say that's probably it.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you. Jade?
For me, I probably use AI a little bit differently from other teams because finance naturally has to be quite cautious. Accuracy matters so much in my role, especially when I'm dealing with reporting and forecasting or compliance related things. That said, I do use AI more as a support tool to help us like structure information, sense check, summarize something that's technical, or maybe think through a process slightly quicker. So I definitely do use it. Where I'm more careful is just to make sure that it never becomes my source of truth, just to make sure that I understand the numbers and validate everything properly. So that's mainly me. It is used, but I am slightly cautious with what it gives us. And I use it mainly as like backup, as a thought process, really.
Fab. I think it's interesting already just seeing the different perspectives based on where your role is and what you do in your day to day. It's very, very interesting. Vicky with an I.
I think I'm kind of the more broader perspective because with my role, I've got kind of three distinct areas. And it is that kind of accuracy point, but also like Vicky's team feeding a lot of information about how to make things better. And AI is very good at collating all that, collating all canny feedback, and then giving me kind of a list of like, these are like the hot topics that we should try and tick off. I've been trying to use it more for designing, which is interesting. And I know you're gonna like talk about some of these bits later on, Emma, but it definitely needs a lot of steering in that area. Whereas like engineering are going really well with it. There's a lot of integrations, like you see, you kind of do need to validate its output, and we never want to risk our security standards, but it knows a lot about how we want it to build. Like we deliberately tell it, this is the structure we want you to follow. And yeah, we're definitely getting better.
Amazing. And I would say from a marketing perspective, we use a tool. I use, like, I swear my brain is AI at this point. I like go between Claude, ChatGPT, and we also use Blaze AI for content generation. And it's such an amazing tool. Essentially, we have to like input a content brief. So exactly what we want to get out of it, who the target audience is, what our goals are, the campaign itself, and then it will basically generate us a whole content schedule. Then I tend to use Claude for more of the reviewal of each post individually as well. And then I tend to use ChatGPT for the imagery. So I'm like playing them all off against each other. It's so funny. So I tend to use it kind of on that aspect mainly, as in the broader massive content calendar, which if I tried to do that by myself, it would just take me far too long to also then do all the other aspects that's needed within my marketing role. So it takes a big amount of time off my hands, which is like the best thing. But moving on, I would say in terms of AI being a tool that we use in our day-to-day, the other day, I've got, it's so funny, but someone, it was a friend of mine, she sent me this video. And I think I got sent it because I openly admit I use AI for everything, like personal life as well. It's like my therapist and everything. And a woman that in the video, there's this woman and she's asked what her name is. And she just completely panics and glitches and then just says a random celebrity name. And the caption said, when ChatGPT server is down. And I was laughed and I was like, I've never seen anything so relatable in my entire life. Because it is kind of that thing of like, we've got to the point where we genuinely cannot function without it. I don't know. But I would say relying on it too heavily comes with its risks, it comes with its mistakes. And I think that's what happens when we do become that little bit too lazy with it. Has anyone ever experienced AI kind of going wrong for you? I've got an example.
I think the biggest risk for me is the confidence in the output. AI can present something in a very convincing way. When you look at it straight away, it looks flash, it's quick, and you look and think, oh yeah, that looks like perfect. Even when it's wrong, it sometimes can be hard to pick it out straight away. So it can be quite dangerous in that respect. And it does stop you from, like, questioning the details. Like, but for me, it's just about checking over your stuff and looking for small inaccuracies, and just making sure that what you're getting is correct. So yeah, you can do it. I've put things in before that have come out. I've looked at them and thought, straight off looking at it, looks perfect. And then once I've dug in a little bit more, it's not quite as straightforward as I expect, and it's missing like the odd little thing, which yeah, I am very cautious with it in that respect. I do try and use it where I can just to make things a little bit speedier, but I do watch and check things fully now just to make sure it's giving us exactly what I need back.
It's a typical AI language for me, like, you know, there's classic dashes in it, or like the phrases that everyone knows as AI terminology that you just kind of like, you cannot be having that. Yeah. Any mistakes or anything you've noticed before, Vicky?
Yeah. I think outside of work, I think for me, and I don't know about you, but you know how everyone uses AI for their own kind of images at the minute, and they all look the same? I think that's one of the things that gets to me at the minute. And I was trying to use AI to make an image for something, and I ended up just doing it myself on Canva because it wasn't getting what I wanted.
I've had some appalling images made.
I was trying to get it that I wanted one font for like the main thing and like a different font for something else, and it was like, I can only do one font, and I'm like, right, okay, I'll do it myself. Inside of work though, it's more when we're trying to get it to help us with maybe something like custom, in terms of maybe some integration work for a customer or something like that, you can kind of get stuck kind of going in circles sometimes when something's not working and you're giving it the input and the output that you're getting, and it's going, I know the issue, it's this, and then it doesn't work, and it just takes you back in circles for what it said the issue was 5 minutes ago. I think that's the thing that gets us, and it's clearly missing some information, but I don't know that information either.
Yeah. Vicky?
From an engineering perspective, I've got no real funny ones. It definitely, we have to check everything because like it's been really sneaky and it's trying to use credentials it's not permitted to use, and like we have to maintain the security side of that. I think there's definitely worse horror stories out. There's like the big airline one about the chatbot. Mm-hmm. It isn't probably heard, and that
I
just
happened. I feel like I need some details on this.
Big airline used AI for its chatbot and didn't. It's obviously hallucinated at one point and claimed that you can have something when you're not allowed it. I'm trying to skate around, research the rest of it. But the person was like adamant, being like, your chatbot said I was entitled to this. It's not even a policy. That's why we deliberately have the guardrails we have. We definitely use like things to make sure we don't have to get into them situations. Like Claude skills are really good. Customizing the journey, we use like one called Superpower, and it deliberately slows Claude down so that you can go through the brainstorming stage and it'll like keep it focused on that. Your hallucinations tend to be when you're just giving it like the big monstrous thing to cope with, and then it'll hallucinate all over the shop. But like you said earlier, Emma, you're giving it like such a strict instruction. Mm-hmm. That's how you have to use these tools. Like they're definitely gonna help us completely. And engineering especially, like we're very used to these things changing all the time. Like since computers were invented, this has always happened. There's been a new thing, we have to work with it, perfect it, error catch it, but it'll get there.
I was just gonna say, do you know what you said about guideposts, Vicky? Do you know that it's like a video that goes around every so often? It's always like a teacher in like a primary school, and like the kids have had to like write how you make a sandwich or something, and it's like details about like, because they're just like, oh, it's like a peanut butter and jam sandwich, and they're like, you put the peanut butter on the bread, and it's like, but they're not saying to take it to open the jar.
Yeah, I've seen this.
Use a knife and then spread it on the bread, like. It's like AI is missing those details.
Yeah.
That is so true.
I actually just talked about school, and I mean, personal life, I don't use AI a lot. And it's not because at some point I probably will. I just generally don't at the moment. But one thing I have used it for, and this just comes straight back into the school one, is to help my son with his homework. Like his maths homework now, the way they set things out is completely different to how I was taught. Yeah. And sometimes, rather than confusing him, I'll sometimes put the question in just to get it reworded so I understand it, then I can help him. But yeah, it's great for that. Definitely, that's one thing I have used it for externally, not work related, but yeah. So I'm imagining that a lot of other parents do the same, because yeah, things is way different when I went to school. But yeah, that's one thing I've definitely reached out in personal life and said, give us a hand.
I wish I was more like that. I use it for, I swear to God, like every aspect. If I get asked a question, I'm like, just 1 second. And I'm like on ChatGPT. Like, I'll find out for you. But do you know what I think about ChatGPT, especially that one, like on its own, is do you not find it needs to get a bit of a backbone? Because I always find ChatGPT, no matter what, will always agree with you. Like I'll put in a post and I'll say like, what do you think of this? It's like, amazing, amazing, but you could tweak it this way. And I'm like, all right, okay. Then I'll put a completely different post in and say, actually, like, what about this one? I know it's worse than the first one, but I'm like testing it. And it's like, this one is so much stronger. Like, this is the one you want to go with. And I feel like it never kind of like has the, it can never like compare sometimes properly. Mm-hmm. I feel like it always just wants to be your best friend and tell you everything you want to hear. And I'm like, no, get a backbone. Do you know what I mean? And I'd say professionally and like work environment where one time it went wrong and I was actually mortified is sometimes we get imagery, we use AI for imagery, like if we just need an idea brought to life a little bit. And it was my fault, I totally overlooked it, but we let this post go out and I got flagged by someone and they were like, did you know that the person had like an extra finger? And I was just like, no, they didn't. And I checked it and they literally did, they had like 6 fingers or something, and I was just like, the post is out, there's like nothing I can do. So I think since then as well I've become like extra vigilant in
counting fingers.
Yeah, counting fingers. I was like mortified, I was like, no. So looking at things where like things can go wrong, they're funny mistakes. I've never had like a like, oh, like a really, really bad one. It's all like hard and fun, but kind of in the sense of, I think we've touched on it, is like, is it making us lazy? And for myself, it's definitely making me lazy. I sometimes don't use my brain anymore. I'm just like, ChatGPT will know. But what I thought I'd do is like, this is totally like off the cuff, so I'm hoping it goes to plan, but I was gonna do like a little demo of using ChatGPT and kind of pop in 2 different prompts. So one kind of like lazy, and then one that's got a bit more substance to it, a bit more direction, and just seeing kind of what it kind of gives back to us. This could backfire. It could, the lazy version could be amazing, but we're going to test it now. So what I'll do is I'll share my screen and then we can discuss as and when, which one is it? This one. Right. Can you see my screen okay?
Yep. Yeah.
Perfect. So I've already set these up. It's a bit like, you know, Blue Peter back in the day when they've got their examples ready. So this is my kind of lazy version, which just says literally write me a post about internal communications. No substance to it, just a very generic message. So let's give it a go. Thinking. Okay. It's not too bad. Oh no, I was hoping it would be like awful. It's actually quite, it's quite good. Okay, what's your thoughts on this one, guys? I feel like it's got a lot to it. I wasn't expecting that. I thought it's gonna be like bad.
I think it's one of those things that you would have to definitely go through it and be like, that's not applicable, or that needs rewording, because you have just put in a basic prompt. So that definitely requires a lot more kind of checking through it on your part.
Yeah, this bit definitely gives like the classic AI template.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to try the more substance ones. This one says, write me a LinkedIn post for Workcast targeting internal communications managers about why attendance figures alone do not prove an all-staff briefing was successful. Conversational tone, short paragraphs, no dashes, ends with a single CTA to our landing hub. Got the landing hub URL and then basically what our goal is as well. So let's try this version. I feel like it's like the same. I mean, it's gonna be better because it's got the CTA at the end, which is what I'd like want in it. And it's gonna be more of a direction to what I actually wanted from it. Okay, do you know what? I feel like that was an absolute fail, but it is what it is. It is what it is. I was like expecting the lazy one to be god awful, but both versions, no matter what, it's the same tool. But I think the idea behind it is both versions are still going to need me to go through that, read through it, and make sure it's like it's exactly what I want it to say and what like I want the audience to feel reading it. So I feel like no matter what you do, you've still got to check through it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stop sharing my screen.
It's almost like a starting block, isn't it? I always think you want to run with an idea. You put your idea in, but there's always tweaks you're going to need to put in there. I think even just for me, when I do some of mine, it will give us an answer. And like you said, Emma, sometimes the answer might be great, but it doesn't sound like me. So if I was putting that out internally, if I put that out, the likelihood is you read that and go, Jade hasn't wrote that. So you've still got to tweak it and add your personal touches to it. Some people won't, and that's okay if that's how they like to be. But I think for me, you've still got to make it sound like you and be like you when you're putting it out there. Otherwise, like you said, there's no authenticity there at all. But it is, like, I do agree that in using them for starting blocks and putting an idea in and then spinning your idea up, it is a great tool, especially for marketing.
Yeah, I think one thing that you can do is personalize it. Like you can teach it your tone of voice, and I think that's like kind of the next era of like what we need to do, or like teach it how the brand wants to talk to people.
Yeah, definitely. Vicky, do you have anything to mention on this one?
No. Spoke for itself.
No.
I think you covered it. Like it does just take a little bit extra checking of what you need, but also the amount of extra work that you need to put in at the beginning, so that what Vicky said's right, that you put in your tone of voice, etc., or that you, like you said, you want a specific thing at the end. As long as you have more context, it has more to work with, and you've set those kind of barriers, and then the output should be better, but you still need to kind of go through it.
Yeah, I think that's where like you see a lot of people complaining about how many tokens AI is using, and like the one sure way that you combat that is be as specific as you can, plan as much as you can up front, so it doesn't have to do as many thought process, and therefore doesn't cost you as much to run. Like that's how to use it efficiently.
Yeah.
Well, when you do it that way, like you said, put everything in at the start, then you do get probably your best answer. The more rethinks it does, I think the worse it gets. Yeah. So if you start off with one thing, but like you said, you haven't been awfully specific about what you want, the more you add on to it, you look and think it's gone way off topic sometimes. You just think, I'm going to have to start this again because it hasn't quite gone right. Yeah. So putting it all in exactly as you think it at the start definitely does help.
Do you guys have a hack for this, actually? Because this is one thing that I always struggle with. Like, I'll have one chat in particular. Let's say it's focused on the internal comms campaign, and it's like the best chat for me to put in any questions or any post, because it's built up that, as you've mentioned, it's got all the information. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the content I'm getting back, or the answers I'm getting back are really accurate. Sometimes what I find though is when the chat has got too much memory in it, it kind of encourages you to make a new chat, and I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to, because if I start a new chat, like you're gonna have to like start all over again. Do you guys actually have a tip? Like, I'm genuinely curious as to how, if you do need to start a new chat, you can get it to like remember stuff.
Yeah, on Claude you can do things like have projects. Oh. Women's like related. And I know me and Vicky have been talking a lot about skills. So that probably feeds into probably the things that would help as well. So when Vicky's talking about tone of voice, things like that, that's like a skill that you can add in so it knows it.
Yeah, you can also get it to summarize what it understands so far, download that or reference that in your new chat, so then it's still got the context of what you've built up and what you wanted to understand about whatever you're doing. There's like in certain AIs it's like slash compact, I think, whereas like other AI models, but that also is a good hack in your situation, Emma. You're highlighting that different AI providers are better at other things, but mm-hmm. you want it to understand core things. So if yeah. you use this way of like having a set of instructions that you paste every time, no matter what AI you're using, you'll get like a cohesive response.
Ah, okay. That's something I really actually genuinely need to look into, because when I have to start a new chat, I'm like, no, it's like the worst day ever, because I'm like, I've got to start all again. Yeah. Someone did tell me a good hack as well. Was it Stu? Might have been Stu, who said, if you ask it to do a summary of the chat and then paste that into the new one, and you can kind of pick it up again. I think that's what I got told. But I was just seeing if way that we could do it, because there it is. That's the one frustrating thing, is like starting a new chat. So yeah, I don't think, in going back to the question of it making us lazy, it definitely makes things a lot easier for us, but the concept of us still need to manually check everything over, and I think this is the same for all our different departments on the call. We're all the same, like we just wouldn't trust AI 100%. We need to make sure that we've got that human element to it as well. So moving on, in terms of where AI genuinely kind of wins, what's the one AI tool or kind of use case that's genuinely made your job better?
I think for me, the biggest win I have was like my low value admin tasks. So summarizing information, drafting internal communications, are helping organize processes. It can save us loads of time. And then it leaves us to free up time to do things that I need to do that requires like judgment and experience. It just sort of helps us with me more repetitive admin tasks and speeds them up, so I've got time to focus on things that require probably more attention to detail. So it definitely does help us with stuff like that, day-to-day things, I would say. That's what I use mine for.
Burrell. Vicky? With a Y?
So I use Claude a lot for things that aren't really customer facing. If, like I kind of mentioned, if there's something with like an integration or some customer looking at or a template or some like CSS or something like that, it's quite handy if it knows the parameters of what it's looking at. Especially if there's something's not matching up, and it helps me kind of sometimes see what I can't see, like a small detail that's like something silly, like because I'm not a coder, so seeing like a bracket in the wrong place or something, it kind of helps with that. If I've been staring at it for hours and I'm like, I cannot see the issue here. So it's really kind of handy for that. It has kind of helped speed that up. But what I'm trying to get in the habit of asking is like, why? Like, so like I'm learning something from it as well. I'm not just trying to get it to do the job for us. I need to
have understanding.
I want to understand where it's kind of come from, especially if I'm asking it to help us figure something out. Like little tasks, like Jade said, like I can get it to do stuff like that. I don't need to know why. It just helps with time. But if I'm getting it to do something a little bit different, I think it helps my understanding for sure.
Yeah, amazing. I think that bracket one is a very strong engineering one. Yeah. You can be looking at it for ages and you're like, but because like our chosen AI is Claude, and it is especially good for an engineering perspective, like everybody knows that area. But I mentioned it earlier, using skills is really important, and just being able to work very well with these AI systems. Like, I really do like Superpower for where I need to be taking design documents, product requirements, and then the engineering effort. It kind of helps control Claude to help get the best output. Definitely Claude Design is the second one I really like. It's the closest design AI design tool for what we need that's producing good outputs. However, the tokens are very limited, so can't do much there.
I heard Claude's integrated with Canva, by the way.
Yeah.
I need to try this. I was like, are you joking? Like, this could be another game changer going on, like the best duo. But have you tried that? Or do you know?
No.
I need to have a look at that on my to-do list.
I was going to the other night, but I was in a hurry. It was the design thing that I mentioned previously. It was something for a Eurovision party, so it was very last minute.
And I'm gonna say where AI genuinely wins. I'm gonna put a spin on it and say from a kind of customer perspective of Workcast, we've got AI in our question box, which I think was such a game changer for seeing events kind of go ahead. The way they're generated, I mean, Vicky with an I'd be able to say a bit more on the AI questions that we've got.
Yeah, I think the good thing about that is it we're feeding it the context of your event. So yes, you can just give it a title and it'll try its best, but we'll feed it any documents that you've uploaded. Like, what does your event actually look like it's going to talk about? And then it'll generate a few. If we're not on the right line, keep generating, and it does definitely help. And it, like Jade was saying, sometimes it's just a starting point you want. It's very good at that.
Yeah, we see like a few customers kind of use it when they maybe people aren't asking questions quickly enough, or they've got a little bit of time left for Q&A. Because generally people don't start asking questions until this question's already being asked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right, all the time.
So it definitely does help with that. But like you said, Vicky, it's the more data that AI has in that respect in terms of documents, resources, the more it has to go off.
Yeah.
And it's definitely something like I know we've discussed internally about bringing that kind of AI aspect to helping people understand their data a little bit more, or helping them within their events. We don't want to replace things with AI in our platform, but we want to use AI to help people be quicker in our platform.
Yeah, it's also worth mentioning that we keep the context just to that session, so you don't have any issues with if you're running the next session and it's busy trying to talk about this other session. It's great.
Yeah. It was a massive, when I was in the event delivery team, I remember when it came out and I was like, this is amazing. It's just one of those, like, again, a smarter way to run events, but it doesn't take over. It's not taking over. It's not speaking for you. You're still doing the presenting live. It's just that like little added element. That's just like a nice little touch that helps you out, really.
It's
really good.
I think it's important right now because everybody's slapping AI on everything.
Yeah.
Like a bit of a fatigue there.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure we're putting in the right places off the bat.
Yeah, because it adds value.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't just want it there for the sake of it. In that place, it definitely adds value, and that's how we want to kind of work with AI platform based anyway, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And going off kind of, you've just mentioned there, like AI is everywhere, and that is the kind of concern is it going to take over, like, or has it taken over already? But what would you say in your role is the one thing that AI just will never, ever be able to replace?
Yeah, I mean, I can go first. Mine's dead easy. it's that customer kind of human interaction. That's something that I'm very conscious that I really don't want to replace. I know there's a lot of like companies at the minute like really kind of pushing that they're 100% authentic, 100% customer focused, etc., non-AI, something built or whatever,
that customer aspect is important because we might miss details. And it's also that relationship that we have with a lot of our customers and our teams have with them that is very, very important that we don't want to miss out on. There's ways in which we can help our customers and do some of maybe the initial kind of help if we're guiding them towards insight documents or something. But that overall customer experience is never going to be replaced, for sure.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like, why are we building that? Again, there's many skills for this where you can tell the AI, unless it can find three bits of evidence of why we should build this, we don't suggest it. But I think AI can help you surface the reasons why something is good to build, but it doesn't know everything. It doesn't know when you've been speaking to a customer, Vicky, and you're like, God, like, this would be such a good idea, but it isn't there. It doesn't know about that. So yeah, judgment for me is the one thing I won't replace.
I would agree. So just thinking about the topic, I had said professional judgment when I was making my little notes to use ahead of this, especially in finance. So for us, numbers is just one part. If you make a decision, you've still got a lot of context to understand about a business, or so risks and priorities and people. It still needs some human experience. Like your finance role, it's often about advising, challenging and helping the business make sensible decisions, not just producing reports. And AI really can't do those things. Yes, it can read a spreadsheet. Yes, it can read your numbers. It can advise on that, but it doesn't necessarily understand commercial judgment. It's things that you need to understand about the business, the wider area, and that still requires human touch, I would say, from our side of things. So yeah, it is great. It is used, but I still think human. Just better. And definitely from your point of view as well, Vicky Anderson, personally for me, when I'm using websites and like banking and things like that, I hate some of the chatbots, because you just can't get out of them, and some of the questions you can't answer with the chatbot. You do need to speak to a person, and sometimes you find yourselves going around the houses to get to that person, and that drives me insane. I do sometimes miss. And you get why I use them, because some things are just straightforward, straight to the point, and you can ask them. But when you are needing to speak to a human, it's because you want to ask it a particular question. And I do miss that a lot in modern day.
Yeah.
For me, it's one of my biggest bugbears, is not being able to speak to a person quickly. I even find on websites and things now that a lot of places don't even supply your telephone number anymore. You've got to spend 5 minutes just trying to find a telephone number on it, because they're like, use the chat button, and you're like, I don't want to. I want to speak with a person.
I think so, with us, like, we don't technically have like phone support, but we do have a chat. It does kind of go through some kind of standardized questions and fill in, like, tries to help with articles. But if through that chat they have an account with us, it checks for that, and then if they want to speak to someone, it will send the chat through to us, and it sends it through to our team. So you do get to a person at the end, but it's very few questions at the beginning to help kind of guide in the right direction. So I was very wary of exactly what you said, Jade, when we were looking at that. And as we redesign it, that's something, again, we need to keep in mind. And then the email addresses for our teams come straight to our teams. So it's good to have that direct kind of customer response.
Definitely.
But you were right about judgment, both of you as well. Like, because I'd say that also filters into my team, in terms of, say, if there's an issue or something like that, that's something that can never be replaced, because it's a judgment call that needs to be made based on context of circumstances of what exactly has happened, what are the actions that we do next. I'd say that's the main kind of point that can't be replaced, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's frustrating when you're using like third-party tools, and you're sending a support ticket, and your marketing is high, like it's vital to your business. Yeah. And then it's like, I've had a look, and I don't believe that's high. I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
Rude.
But then, like, you see, I haven't got a phone number. Like, you're at the mercy of that.
Yeah,
I understand, like, you need to put hurdles for the wrong kind of, like, sometimes, like, you might get a chatbot trying to, like, come after your chatbot, things like that. I get you need hurdles for that, but I am legitimately logged in. Like, I'm real.
Yeah, that's exactly it, because, like, we've added some hurdles, like, in terms of the, like, so that we can see someone has an account, and we added, like, a captcha and stuff to the chat at the minute, and it's something that we'll look at in future to make sure that we're not open to, like, chatbot issues, but it's the need to come be able to get through to a person.
Definitely. And I think from a marketing perspective, what AI can't replace is the confidence in knowing what performs well and what doesn't. You know, I literally live and breathe marketing now. Like, even in my personal life, I'm on my personal LinkedIn, literally scrolling that now on a 9 p.m. on Sunday rather than TikTok. Like, that's what my life has come to now. But it's good for me because I'm able to, like, observe what other people are doing, noticing trends, like picking up on things that generally, like, AI just wouldn't really know about. So I think that for me is my kind of, like, thing that AI just will never be able to replace. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like my time.
Yeah, you're probably right about trends as well, because, like, how would AI know that?
No, and I've tried it before where I was like, I saw this trend happening and I was like, AI, ChatGPT or whatever it was, I was like, can we jump on this trend and, like, do something? And it just was, like, clueless. It just did a generic post back to me and just completely missed the trend. And I was like, yeah, no, it doesn't matter. Like, I'll do it myself. Like, do you know what I mean? So things like that, it's just never really going to be as good as a human would be. So, yeah, well, guys, I feel like we've, like, gone on a, like, massive discussion here, and I've kept you guys for so long. So we'll kind of close off the podcast and kind of just come back to the original question of, is AI making us worse at our jobs without us knowing? So, quick fire round, yes or no, what's your guys' thoughts on it?
No, it does help, and it does help speed up tasks, but I am still very cautious with what it delivers. But yeah, I mean, people that don't use it to help them speed things up, I think need to, because it does give you then the time to do other things that require your dedication. So not lazy as such, but smarter in terms of the way I use my day-to-day, definitely helps me in that respect.
Vicky with an eye.
No, I don't think so. I think you need to work with it, and it is that kind of brainstorming buddy at the side, that if you want to bounce some ideas off somebody, it's there day or night.
Yeah, amazing.
I agree. I don't think it makes people lazy. I think it makes you think differently. Yeah. Because you have to think differently about adding more context to what you're trying to do, or it can help you understand things in a kind of different level of what you're looking at. So it can work kind of side by side to you and kind of take some of the kind of smaller things, but you do need to check over everything. So that's not a kind of a lazy aspect, because you still need to have your knowledge there.
Yeah, I agree. I think it can make us worse at our jobs, but only if you let it. Like, if you really just heavily rely on it and think it knows exactly what it's doing, then yeah, it probably could make you worse at your job. So I think it's just all about exactly what you said, Vicky, with an eye, about working with it, and, you know, work smarter, but never stop thinking. So we're going to take away from this today. But yeah, so basically that is the end of our podcast. So thank you guys so much for joining and giving kind of an input from the different departments. I think it's been so interesting to hear like how AI can be used on different aspects. Like I'm just stuck in my marketing brain sometimes. So hearing it from customer ops, finance, engineering, it's just like so great to hear. So yeah, thank you for joining today and thanks for everyone watching. As I mentioned at the beginning, we will make the webinar available on demand as well afterwards. So do feel free to watch back or share with others. And look out for the next Unfiltered podcast, which will be on your screen soon. So yeah, have a lovely day all. Goodbye.
Bye. Thanks. Bye.